Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
I'm pleased to welcome back to our show, Andrea Amador. Hello, Andrea. How are you today, dear?
Hello, January. It's wonderful being here.
Well, you know, I've had you on the show before. I love having you on the show. We have a real wonderful rapport. You're so generous about sharing your success story with my listeners. You know, you are truly one of my priceless personalities, which is a blatant plug for my new book that's coming out next month. Could you share with my listeners your story? Where did it all start for you? Tell us about when you were growing up and what your life was like.
My story is that there's a lot of abuse in my history. It started as early as 5 years old when a doorman tried to molest me. And soon after, it kind of opened the door for so many other miscellaneous men to do similar things. But what really, really hurt was when my stepfather, my mother was seeing this man, and he soon became my stepfather. He kind of introduced me to a stable of perversity, all of his friends, and wow, that was horrible. When I was about 11 or 12, I got the incredible opportunity to live with my father, who I have always adored. I love my dad so much. And it was finally a place where I could be safe. And he didn't know my secret, and my stepmother didn't know my secret until I was about 16 years old. But the really amazing thing was, at that time, the personal growth movement was just starting to explode. And he was fascinated by all of this. And he brought me to my first personal growth seminar, which was mind control. That rocked my world. I began the process of empowerment way back when. I was 11 years ago. I think that was 39 years ago. I'm 50 now. What I want to share with your listeners is that many, many times when we learn things in terms of empowerment and, you know, learning that your thoughts are powerful and that you can change your life and all this wonderful stuff, all of these lofty ideas, if you don't have the technology to deal with the crud and the junk that develops as a result of being sexually abused or anything that is traumatic, then you won't realize it, but you will sabotage yourself and you'll continually step in your own way. It's like being on the gas and the brake at the same time.
Okay. That's a very good, very excellent analogy, being on the gas and the brake. You know, we've had so many survivors on the show, and it's so interesting to me that it's such a secret when they've been sexually abused. It's very difficult to talk about that and to tell people. How did it come out of you finally when you were 16? How did you get it out of you?
I remember the first person I told was Jenny, who was my stepmother's sister. And she was so shocked. We were just folding laundry, and she says, "Oh, my God, we have to tell Rosie." So then the next person I told was Rosie, my stepmother, and she said, oh, my God, we have to tell Daddy. So I told my father, and Thanksgiving was right around the corner. And he said, we're going to fly your mother up here. You're going to tell your mother, and, you know, we're going to handle this.
Okay.
And I was not at all prepared for my mother's response. She didn't believe it at all.
Oh, really?
And it led to maybe a period of about 10 years being estranged from one another.
Okay. And, you know, this
hurt.
This happens often, doesn't it? There's a lot of denial that goes with it, and especially for the parent who, you know, when it happens on your watch, so to speak, you really want to deny it and disavow it. Don't you agree?
It does. At the point when my mother and I were working on healing our relationship, way back when I was in my mid-20s or so, I was seeing a therapist. My therapist had met my mother, and she said, at that time, my mom had already been diagnosed as having bipolar manic depressive disorder. And she said, you know, Andrea, I just bet that your mother has always had, you know, bipolar, and that it was never, ever diagnosed. And her tendency to kind of hide and stick her head in the sand and not, you know, be aware of what's going on, that was all part of it. So it made me realize that I could no longer point the finger of blame and say, it's your fault, you should have done this, you should have helped me, because she was struggling with her own issues.
Okay. And we so often find out that in these incest situations where sexual abuse occurs, sometimes the perpetrator themselves have been abused as children themselves. It's incestuous, obviously, the way it goes from one generation to the next generation. Now, you're okay now? Have you reunited and gotten things worked out?
Yes, we have. It was really nothing short of amazing the way it all happened. It started back in 2004 when I was going through my NLP training. NLP is basically a way of being able to change the way that you see things in an empowering light. And I was going through that coaching training, and something took me back in my memory to the worst experience of being in this position of, you know, being with George's friends. And I my body just completely responded in a way that was completely unlike I had ever had. I started shaking and trembling out of control, and I was in a class situation. It's really uncool to be there in that type of a vulnerable place. It's very, very inconvenient. And I was sitting in a circle, watching my hands on top of my knees, shaking out of control. And the woman who was sitting next to me, my classmate, tapped on my shoulder to get my attention, and she said, are you okay? And I shook my head no, and she kind of pulled me out of the room. And as soon as the door closed, I started crying hysterically because I was so immersed in that memory. I was there. I heard her say through my tears, I know you don't know what it is that I do, but I'm an emotional freedom technique practitioner. And I know that I can help you if you'll allow me to tap on your hand and parts of your face and under your arms. She said, is that okay with you? And I shook my head yes. And she said, can you speak? And I shook my head no. And she said, that's okay. Can you hum as I do this? And I shook my head. And then she started tapping on the side of my hand, and the word I remember the most is she was saying, even though, and she was talking, she was describing, you know, the fears, even though I feel so anxious and my body is out of control and I'm so scared. She wasn't getting any feedback from me. She was just, based on the way that I was presenting, she was just going through. And then at some point, she must have been able to read by watching my face that I could speak. And she says, can you speak now? And I said, yes. And that's when I was able to help her. And the two of us were dissecting the memory bit by bit. And she helped me to completely change the way that I saw that memory, where I was coding it before as poor Andrea, the victim, and helpless, nothing I could do about it, to a complete 180-degree turn that made it a no-brainer for me that I had to forgive George and I had to forgive all of those men, because I finally realized that I was the one who was carrying the bag of rocks and hating myself all of those years.
Wow, what a powerful story. I'm so appreciative that you're sharing it with my listeners. You know, we're going to take a break now and hear about your host today. And when we come back with Andrea Amador, we're going to talk a little bit about how she had to leave college prematurely and some of the things that happened to her on her road to success. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be right back with Andrea Amador.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Andrea Amador, my dear friend. She's the author of a fabulous book called Loving the Skin You're In, The Juicy Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Friends with Your Body. You know, we're going to talk about helping women bust out of body shame, Andrea. But before we do, could you just go back a little bit and tell us what it was like when you had to leave college prematurely?
Oh, my gosh. That was such a heartbreaking experience. I loved going to NYU, and I was just starting, well, I was about my second year in business classes, and I really didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. I just knew because my family was involved in business. My father has been in real estate, third generation owned Manhattan real estate. And you know, I always would go along with him and be present in the office. And I was kind of learning ever since I was like 10 years old. And it was so cool to me, this whole idea of being able to handle a business and owning property and all this. So at the time, his life hit the skids, and he was in a position where he needed some help, and I stepped in. He could no longer run the business. I stepped in at my grandmother's urging. She was 80 at the time, and I was in the position of running a business with 700 tenants, 110 families, and yeah, it was a real wow. Three buildings, a coin-operated laundromat, 40 machines. It was daunting, absolutely daunting. And I did not want to do this. I would have done anything for my dad, but I was truly, I went from the frying pan to the fire. I mean, from school, this very safe, you know, environment, all of a sudden, you're dealing in the thick of it with tenants that are yelling at you, and you're going to court, and you know the judge is giving you a hard time, and there's all of these suppliers and people who didn't respect me because I didn't present myself as the boss. Everyone thought of me as Frank's daughter.
Yeah,
especially the superintendent, because I lived in the same building ever since I was 11 years old, and all of a sudden now I am the boss of the man who used to be the super of the building. It was insane.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was.
Wow.
I was the boss. I didn't step into that power. And unfortunately, I was in a position where I didn't recognize the value that I brought to the table. I didn't recognize how the value that I was bringing to my father. saving these buildings and saving the family fortune and everything else. And I accepted a salary of $150 a week for almost 18 years.
Ah!
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
And at the time, my dad and I had a real, real hard conversation. Up until that time, he was my it. I mean, he brought me through all of this horror with the abuse. He kind of rescued mm-hmm. me from that place,
yes.
even though he didn't realize it. But he brought me into this very empowered life where I was learning that my thoughts are important and, you know, I could mm-hmm. create my own destiny. And we had these fabulous esoteric conversations, and he would pay people to do classes in the house, and it was great. And he said to me at the point when I stepped in to run his business, he said, "Don't think of me as your father anymore. Think of me as your boss."
Oh, okay.
And it was
wow.
from that moment that that closeness just dissolved into thin air.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he became very angry and critical, and not a single thing that I did was right. And I don't want to sound like a whiner, because I know you hate whiners, but there's a reality here.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
because of the fact that I respected him, and as his daughter, I just thought of him as the sun and the moon and the stars, I never considered saying, "No, I won't do this," or "This is not okay with me," or "I disagree with you." I would yes him to death. And he said to me, "You know, you're being very passive-aggressive here." And we had all of these discourses and arguments, and it was constant tension and pain. And at the point when I couldn't take it anymore, this was affecting my life every way down the road, because I was working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was nothing for me to be in a boiler room sitting and waiting for a serviceman on Christmas or some craziness like that, because I was trying to run the buildings in the best way that I could to honor his demands of me, and that mm-hmm. was to be very, very cheap. Although I had total control over what amount of check I would write to anybody, it was like I was brainwashed.
Yeah, yeah. How did you, tell us, share with my listeners, how did you bust out of that situation and reclaim your life?
Oh, yes, okay. There was, the very first step was Anthony Robbins' Personal Power tapes. A friend of mine and I, we saw the advertisement way mm-hmm. back in 1999, and mm-hmm. we ordered it together, and we okay. did it. With 30 days, we committed to one another, and we worked on the program, the system, and incrementally, my life just completely took off and changed. Mm-hmm. And I remember that at some point down the road, in addition to deciding on personal training and doing an Avon walk for 60 mm-hmm. miles, doing all of these things, the most important thing I chose to do was I found a local women's empowerment group through the Rockland County Guidance Center, and
uh-huh.
I put myself in that. And I shared with these women my story, and they said, "Oh, my gosh, girl, do you have any idea what kind of power you wield?" I said, "No, I don't." And they told me, "You have the ability to write a check in any amount. You could take any amount and leave or whatever. Why are you here?" And I said, "But this is my dad. I love my dad." They said, "Enough of that." Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're being severely underpaid. The first thing they said is, "Go out and get comparables and find out what you do is worth." And I did. And then I started to make changes in writing the amount of my salary in writing bigger checks. But at some point, I said to my father, "You know, I've had it. I'm done. You know, you threaten all the time you're going to sell the buildings, whatever. Do it. I want 49%.
Good for you.
I want 49% for me." And at first
Absolutely.
He said, "You're out of your effing mind." And then three
okay.
weeks later, he called and he said, "You know, Andrea, you're right. He said, I swore that I would never do to my children what my father did to me by, you know, taking away my life and saddling me with the business. And he said, here, I've done it to you for so many years. I agree with you. I'll give you that money.
Wonderful. That's a great, great story. Thank you for sharing.
No, the story's not over yet. No,
more-
unfortunately, there was, it didn't, I don't know, you know, it ended up that in the end he said, oh, sorry. He didn't even say sorry. Basically, we are estranged. I've gotten nothing.
Oh,
we went on welfare. My husband and family went on welfare. We almost lost our home because we couldn't pay our taxes. My self-esteem was in the toilet because the man that I loved the most had stabbed me in the back. And what had happened within my family was that there was so much blaming going on where I became the bad guy. So my husband and son were kind of like pointing their finger and saying, how could you do this? How could you trust him? What's the matter with you? And like my daughter and I were kind of trying to figure life out. So for a couple of years during that very tough time when I was trying to figure things out and also write my book at the same time, because at the point when I realized that I wasn't going to get anything from him, that's when I realized, okay, Andrew, you got to step up. But it's very, very weird because he was, it seemed, he was on my side all the way. And at the point when I decided to start The Juicy Woman, it started out as Brave People International. He was completely there with me, and he would help me by videotaping my seminars. He went all the way to Albany one day. And I can't explain it. I'm brokenhearted over it. I've done a lot of tapping, and that's kind of opened up to a whole new opportunity that I have to share with other people, and that is to make peace with the father-daughter divide. Because for the past few years, every time Father's Day rolled around or his birthday would roll around, I would just be under the desk. Feeling devastated, and I'm damn sick and tired of it. And I want others to learn from what I've experienced, that what's going on when you're hurting, no matter who has betrayed you or whatever it is, you must realize that it's not personal. For whatever reason, that person did what they did because they felt they needed to. I hold on to the belief that during those years when I was a teenager and young woman, that my father adored me and he would have done anything. Once the business came in, money seemed to be what was most important to him. That's his value. That's not mine. But
wow, what a great story this is. You know, we're going to take a break and have a commercial. When we come back, I want to talk to you about Father's Day that is coming up. When we come back, I want to share your website information and share with my listeners where they can get your book. I want to talk about busting out of body shame. We'll be right back with Andrea Amador.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? June is audiobook month, and the producers of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, invite you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. This is Adele Park inviting you to celebrate Audiobook Month on the funny side. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
Welcome back with my dear friend, Andrea Amador, author of a fabulous book, Loving the Skin You're In, The Juicy Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Friends with Your Body. Andrea, could you share your website information and share with our listeners how they can get your book?
Oh, absolutely. It's thejuicywoman.com. And the book you can purchase directly from thejuicywoman.com site or Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com.
Okay. And we're going to talk about how to help women bust out of body shame. What inspired you to pursue this path to help women overcome their emotional eating issues? Is this something you were working your way through?
Wow. Well, excuse me. That was a very big aspect of my relationship with my dad early on. The only bone of contention that he seemed to have with me during the period when I was growing up was my weight. And it was because when after I came back from Florida, he took me to the doctor, and the doctor had seen that I had gained like 30 pounds over the course of a year or so, and I had a heart murmur. And he was really concerned, but he's not a warm and fluffy kind of guy. So being demonstrative in terms of showing affection or care or concern was not his thing. So he was very kind of tough, and he said, okay, gotta lose weight, gotta do this, 1,000 calories a day, you're gonna go walking or running, I'll get you a trampoline, whatever. My grandmother had a job, and that was taking care of the food, making sure that I'd come home and eat like steamed broccoli and carrots and all that sort of stuff. And Rosie, my stepmother, was in charge of shopping with me and, you know, finding clothes that fit. And since she couldn't do that, her sister Ida had to sew me all of these horrible elastic, like pregnancy outfits, which were horrendous. So it was like this whole big obsession, Andrea's weight. Mm-hmm. And that started early on. And because of that, I thought, wow, something's wrong with me. I'm fat. And the reason I was fat was because nobody knew. I was trying desperately to protect myself, to make myself unattractive to men. And so food meant so much to me, and my Nana was this brilliant baker, and she did all these great things, but the point is that we don't realize that food is not the problem. When a person is dealing with weight issues or problems of feeling out of control with food, it has nothing to do with food. That's why the diet organizations are going south and nothing works. People keep coming back. The studies show that up to 98% of all people, after they lose weight, they regain it and more within 2 to 5 years. Heartbreaking.
Yes, and you see this all the time. It's a total yo-yo epidemic going on in this country. Tell us a little bit about what is this emotional freedom technique that you're working on.
Oh, EFT, emotional freedom technique. Well, that is the technique that I described that I had first bumped into when I was going through that panic attack. And that completely shifted my way of thinking, because up until that time, I was a mouse. I was scared of, being in a position of being the president of a company, I would write down a script of what to say to my accountant for what I wanted him to bring the following week. I was scared of everybody.
Wow.
And so the big thing that emotional freedom technique did for me was it created this huge sense of emotional freedom. I don't want to sound weird about this, but it enabled me to tap into a side of me that had so much power and passion that had been caged up for so long, because I didn't believe in myself. And I always measured myself by my father's bar. And it always seemed that I fell short. And many times people do that. They measure their own value and their worth against something else that has nothing to do with them And so many times women fall into the habit or the tendency to think that because they're overweight, because they have problems with eating or food, something's mm-hmm. wrong with them, that they're bad people. Nothing could be further from the truth. But what's going on is their body is screaming, pay attention, help me, look at me. Something's going on and you need to see it. The food is a way of crying out.
The cry for help. And you need to really concentrate on listening to your inner feelings. And truly, that's the only way you're going to heal your life, isn't it?
It absolutely is, yes.
And let's talk a little bit about stress. And I know so many people get so stressed out over their weight. And actually, the stress contributes to their weight gain, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Stress is crazy because what it does is in the body, it creates an overproduction of a hormone called cortisol. And cortisol, it creates an overproduction that inhibits weight loss, and it creates the abdominal obesity.
Oh, okay.
And the hormones that stop the weight loss, there are hormones like the cortisol that actually stop the weight loss. Even if you're doing absolutely everything right, it does not matter. If you're under stress and your cortisol is flowing, it doesn't matter because stress decreases nutrient absorption, increases salt retention. It impacts your immune system, endocrine system, digestive, and every other system. Too much of it, chronic stress, leads to heart attack, cancer, diabetes, stroke. All of these things are as a result of the stress, the way that we live our lives. If we're not able to actually deal with the stress that we have on a moment-to-moment basis, it has this cumulative effect like a snowball. And over mm-hmm. the course of years, very, very recently, there's been a study done, I think it was Psychology, I don't have it at my fingertips, but mm-hmm. over the course of 10 years of ignoring the stress that you have, you'll almost certainly develop some kind of anxiety or mood disorder, mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Now let's, what about the, you advocate support groups for women to help them deal with weight, food, body issues. Where can a woman find a support group if she's at home listening to this and she wants to connect with other women and change her life?
Absolutely. Well, by going to my Facebook page, facebook.com/thejuicywoman, I run teleclasses for women, and I'm going to be relaunching my Curvy and Confident Coaching Club, which will be 4 classes a month, and it goes at a range of different prices, the lowest being $19 and the highest being with personal coaching, it's like $477. But mm-hmm. because of the fact that I know what it's like to go through the money problem and think that that's the problem, I've made it as affordable as possible. I have an upcoming seminar. It's really about dealing with the broken heart. When a woman, particularly this one is for women, it's called Mend Your Broken Heart, Making Peace with the Father-Daughter Divide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because so many women have these unresolved relationships with their fathers, either because they've passed away, or they're mm-hmm. facing estrangement, as in my case, or never, ever having the security or love or support of a father, feeling abandonment issues. And every single, reminder, Father's Day, birthday, occasion, mm-hmm. it's like a hole in your heart digging at you. And this is what I want to offer women, an ability to be able to change that, to make the hurt stop hurting, to give them techniques to release the anger and the rage and the sadness, I mean, the crushing pain felt by knowing that your dad is not around and everybody around you is celebrating Father's Day or Christmas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to handle the rage and the hurt and the jealousy of seeing other people that are happy with their dads and not taking that personally, being able to deal with it and just let it go.
Oh, well, I can personally relate to what you're sharing with us because, unfortunately, I was estranged from my dad when he passed on, and it's a heartbreak that you carry with you forever, and it's very difficult to heal from something like that. You know, Andrea, we're going to hear from another sponsor, and then when we come back, I would like to talk with you a little more about what success means to you. If you have any regrets, and I'd like to hear some advice from you on some eating tips for women who are out there listening to our show to help them get a handle on their day-to-day eating. We'll be right back with Andrea Amador.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Pat has been a guest on the show so many times, and I highly, highly recommend her book if you are in a second marriage or if you're thinking about getting into one. Andrea, let's talk a little bit about your journey and what success means to you. Do you have any regrets? And then I'd like to hear some advice.
I don't think I have any regrets whatsoever. If you would have asked me that 4 years ago, I would have given you a list yay long, but I don't. I wouldn't change a single thing, any pain, any hurt, any abuse. I wouldn't change a single thing because it's brought me to this point of the deepest love and compassion for others who have suffered similar situations and circumstances, and the ability, even more important, to be able to serve them. And to be able to give them the benefit of what I've learned.
Oh, that I'm so happy to have you share that, because so many people are so bogged down in looking backwards. These are the people that are the whiners. And, you know, not having regrets is a wonderful, wonderful way to live. Before we go, let's share a few tips with our listeners about some eating tips for people who are trying to get a handle on their eating habits. I know you advocate that people eat regular meals and not skip meals, don't you?
I really advocate that they listen to their bodies.
So
that if that may mean skipping meals for them, then I don't have any issue with that. A couple of weeks ago on my Love in the Skin You're In Blog Talk radio show, I interviewed a woman named Dr. Linda Bacon. And she is the best-selling author of Health at Every Size, a fabulous book. She's a scientist. And she had explained why it's so important to be able to listen to your body, to pay attention to what you want, what you feel hungry for. And when I asked her, is there anything that you would suggest not to eat or anything like that? She said, well, that's not really a useful way to go. She said, rather, when you're looking to change your habits, the best thing to do is to add instead of subtract. Yeah, I thought that was wonderful. He said the goal is to have as much as possible whole foods, fruits and vegetables. So if you don't already eat those types of foods, then you want to integrate them and you want to start to have them. And I said to her, well, you know, many of my clients say, ooh, I hate vegetables. What would you do with that? And she said, well, she said, why don't you suggest to them that they take some of the favorite sauces that they have from meat. So, for example, if they like chicken with broccoli or something, have mm-hmm. that sauce with a vegetable and try different vegetables in different ways. So I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. I love the part where you add instead of take away. You know, we've had several people on the show talk about their programs and how successful they are with Weight Watchers. And recently, Weight Watchers has changed their program that if you have vegetables and fruits, that's 0 points. So they're literally saying the same thing that you're saying, is that you can eat unlimited vegetables and fruit and you're going to be okay, you're going to do all right.
Yes, the whole idea is that you eat for the purpose of satisfying your hunger. Now, mm-hmm. my recommendation is pay attention to when you're eating for the purposes of satisfying your emotions. And what mm-hmm. that looks like is when you notice that you're like feeling edgy and crazed and you just have to go and eat that pint of ice cream. My thing used to be, you know, before I'd be intimate or you know, my husband and I, mm-hmm. we were going to have sex or something. Mm-hmm. I sabotaged by having a pint of Ben and Jerry's beforehand. And it was no surprise. It was like a not tonight kind of honey evening.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But pay attention. And instead of looking at that action and judging and saying, oh, what's the matter with me? I'm an idiot. Be curious and be kind and be compassionate.
Oh, that is very, very good advice. You know, before we go, Andrea, I am so proud of you because you now have your own radio show. Could you share with my listeners how they can listen to you on the radio and tell us what it's been like for you to become a radio show, talk show host?
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for inspiring me. I feel as though I've taken off into the blue, and I'm soaring. It feels so good. I took the first 10 weeks of the show, since it was mine, and I just basically mm-hmm. talked about things that were important to me, and I shared a lot of the principles from my book. And after that, I started interviewing people that really spoke to the needs of my audience, which are mm-hmm. women who struggle with weight and body image. And I've interviewed a lot of the leaders in the field, and it has been so exciting because through them, I'm learning so much, and it just feels so good because I love learning constantly, learning and sharing. That's what I do.
Well, you're wonderful at it, and you were lovely enough to invite me to be on your show. I adored being interviewed by you. You were you had done your homework, and you had conducted one of the best interviews I've ever had, and I would love to come back anytime. You're a natural, and I'm so glad that you're exploring this part of your career and creating new opportunities to meet new people.
Oh, thank you so much, January.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. My upcoming guests for the show are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests like Andrea today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Andrea Amador. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
You could probably pick up a nice 40-foot boat dock in Fort Myers right now. See the pictures? Yeah. We're in the process of making another move ourselves. We moved here from Payson, Arizona. I was breeding at 5,000 for 12 years. Moved to Sarasota, right in for 6 months, and we bought a place, and it's in a 4-unit. We sold it and we're moving over to Lakewood, a half hour. Small house, about 1,700 feet. The lake out in the back, and so November 1st. The street was it on? He passed away. Yeah, I played for a long time. We stole the racket. Almost doll. Trying to get back in. Who was that shot for? Who's that? Say it again. We're in the same deal. I was lucky to have a couple of citations. 9 years. I got that hope. Retirement. Oh, really? I didn't know that. No, I had a return at 60. No, not really. Actually, Bob, I guess I haven't thought about it for a while. I don't even I know if it's good to have it. That probably has 30. You worked a lot, got a union, got a pretty good. I mean, you find it always works. No, I got checked on a lawyer. What airplane were you on? Yeah. Put it up in Detroit. 1996. Back. I don't think there was any. And then I got taken out in L.A. That's an MD. To give, tying back. I never flew the 37. I bounced back in 1988, the 27. I was a bomber for 15 years. Say that again. Yeah, it's just a little bit further to the west. It's just, I'm sorry, further over east of in Bradenton. Bradenton. I just read the other day that all the prices are going up by 25%. All the price side of the piece in the United States. Yeah. Yeah, I did ask for almost. I think it was 9 or 10 months. Well, they may have, but I forget why I left. I took it in Chicago. Yeah, but on the that was a fun 10 month. Watch out. Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody knew what a good deal it was. You're being a prick.
And get down here and give it a call.
All right.
Great.
That's good.
The RUPA meeting? Yeah. All right. Good talk to you, Bobby. Okay.
He always was an asshole.
Okay, I could already know.
He went down Yucca and had lights up, you know, as you're driving out. He had that house with the big, he said, with the big fireplace, the big rock fireplace in the middle. Pretty dramatic.
Yucca was the big on street that
we drove in on. You came in up, you turn on, you go on Dos Rios, and then you turn right on Yucca and go down.
He was up the same side of the street. Is
up on the top. He was up on the top of the hill. And he had a big house with his wife, I think his name was Jody or something. He was a pretty girl, but she was heavy. And he was just an asshole. No one liked him.
He does.
How did he find you?
Oh, Jesus.
Did he work for United?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Is this shirt dirty?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is.
What an asshole he was.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because he could probably want to come and live with us.
Is he coming to visit? I hope not. No. I mean, and I can remember even back then, he just liked